up, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Boutique Digital Marketing, the show that tells you everything you need to know about business development and digital marketing. I'm Rita Saikali, and in today's episode, we will be talking about forming a corporation and understanding your customer needs and behavior. We also have an amazing interview coming up today with Rosette, who is doing an amazing job with her exciting company, Creative and Exciting. Stay tuned. So the question we are asking today is, should you form a corporation? Apple, Netflix, Hulu, Google, General Electric, these are all corporations. So naturally, if you're thinking of forming a small business, you may be deterred by these names, considering, well, they are giants. However, before they became giants, they started off as small startups. They started from step one, as you're doing today. Needless to say, a corporation is not just for Fortune 500 companies. In fact, corporations can range in any size from a few employees to thousands of employees. So today we are going to discuss these three things. What is a corporation and what does it do? What is the incorporation process? And what are the different types of corporation structures? So it starts with this. What is a corporation and what does it do? A corporation is a legal entity that is treated as separate from its owner. In the case of a corporation, the business and not the owner is liable for any debts that are incurred, and it is responsible for the decisions that are made through the entity. A corporation provides the strongest protection for owners against personal liability. Legally, a corporation is entitled to owning property as would an individual. It's also liable when dealing with contracts, which means that it can be sued and it can sue others in the court of law. Since these entities are separate from their owners, they are liable to pay taxes as well, and they are taxed as independent entities. Now we have the incorporation process. What is the incorporation process? So unlike the sole proprietorship and the partnerships, corporations are fairly difficult to form. The rules and regulations that they are bound to differ from state to state. However, most states base their corporation law on what is known as the Model Business Corporation Act of the American Bar Association. This is a model set of laws that is currently followed by 24 of the 50 states, and these set of laws have greatly influenced the U.S. corporate law as it stands today. Fun fact, businesses do not have to be incorporated in their home state, or rather the state where they're based. So they can be incorporated in any other states. In fact, according to the state of Delaware's Division of Corporation, more than 66% of the Fortune 500 companies are incorporated in Delaware, even though that is not their base or that is not their home state. These companies include companies like Bank of America, Google, and Coca-Cola. So, the best thing to do before starting the incorporation process is to research the rules and regulation of different states and compare them. Once that is done, and the business has chosen where to set up that corporation, then they will be able to receive a corporate charter, also known as a certificate of incorporation. This establishes that the entity is legal and it exists. Lastly, we have corporation and their business structures. Generally speaking, most corporations have a few things in common. For example, shareholders, which are also known as stockholders, these are people who own a portion of the corporation. In the case of publicly traded companies, these corporations could have a lot of shareholders. Because the amount of shareholders is so great, the company cannot be ran by all of them. As a result, a management team runs the company. And this management team is primarily composed of a CEO, a COO, and a CFO. This managerial team then reports to a board of the directors because they cannot report back to every single shareholder. The shareholders elect this board, and the managerial team will have to report to them as representatives of those shareholders. These elected members are generally divided between shareholders as well as managers. This division ensures that shareholders have a say as well as the managerial team. So everyone is on board. There are several different types of corporations and different structures to them. These are C Corp, S Corp, B Corp, closed corporation, and nonprofit corporations. A C Corp is the typical corporation. There's really nothing special about it. Everything that we said above, or everything that we said earlier, that is exactly what the C Corp is. An S Corp is a corporation that is designed in a way that would avoid the double taxation of the regular C Corp. These are special because some of the losses and the profits that the company has can be claimed under the owner's personal income without any subjugation to corporate tax. So, and that's how it kind of maneuvers the whole double taxation. However, it should be noted that when dealing with an S corporation, this S corporation cannot have more than 100 shareholders, and all shareholders in the case of the United States have to be American citizens. The other form of corporation is the B Corp, which is a benefit corporation, and it is a for-profit corporation. Really, the substantial difference between the C Corp and the B Corp is that the B Corp is mission driven. That means they must provide some sort of benefit to the public that accompanies the financial profit. So yes, they're making money, but they're also geared towards helping the community. Next, we have closed corporations. This is one of the many ways, or in many ways, it resembles a B Corp. However, it would not have the traditional corporate structure as would the B Corporation. For example, these corporations could be ran by a small group of shareholders rather than a board of directors. And lastly, we have nonprofit organizations, or nonprofit corporations rather, and they are usually charitable or educational organizations that are dedicated to benefiting the public. Because of these services, or because of the services that they provide to the public, they may receive tax exemptions on the profit that they do actually make. However, as there's always a however. However, they are limited with what they could do with the profit that is being produced. For example, they can't share it with the shareholders or distribute it among the shareholders. So the key takeaways from this concept here, or from this aspect, is that corporations really are not easy to form, but they are the strongest protection against personal liability of the owner. So if you are running a business that has a really high liability, or you're dealing with maybe people's properties, maybe something that requires, you know, a lot of liability, then a corporation might be the case. Might be the best thing because it protects you strongly against personal liabilities. And the other takeaway is that corporations are owned by shareholders, and those shareholders elect a board, and that board hires managers. So although it's owned by the shareholders, it does not have to be ran by the shareholders. And takeaway number three is that there are several different forms of corporation, and the types of corporation that you should choose is contingent upon the business that you are trying to form. So I hope you enjoyed this particular segment on corporations, and if you have any questions what I want you to do is I want you to email us at info@boutiquedigitalmarketing.com or give us a call at 909-333-5116, and we'd be happy to answer your questions from the Boutique Digital Marketing family. Next up, we are talking about understanding your customer needs and behaviors. Okay, you guys, so one of the biggest mistakes that I see when it comes to marketing is that sometimes business owners think that they can target all customers with the same marketing campaign. This includes potential as well as current customers. As if, you know, when it comes to marketing, there is a one size fits all. But honestly, you guys, this is not the case. That it is true that there are some businesses that have the ability to cater to everyone because of the products or services they offer. For example, a pharmacy could prepare medication for an infant as much as they could prepare medication for a senior citizen, which is a large gap between the two. And maybe a restaurant could cater to anyone who would like to eat at that restaurant or that type of food. But that does not mean that all customers should be grouped in the same category when it comes to marketing. So in this segment, we're going to discuss two things. We're going to talk about understanding the desired customer and the different categories to consider when it comes to your customer. Let's talk about understanding the desired customer. As in the example that we just said, some businesses do have the abilities to cater to everyone, but that is not a healthy endeavor for businesses to take. Whatever venture the business decides to undertake, it is essential that they have a target market. In other words, they need to have a desired customer in mind. The desired customer is the person within the target market that the business is geared towards. Of all the people out there, this is the person most likely to purchase the product or the service that the business is offering. That desired customer is categorized based on the needs and behavior that he or she might have. And these needs and behaviors are influenced by internal and external factors. Truthfully, when a business offers a product, that product really either solves a problem or it highlights a passion that the potential client might have. It is then the role of marketing to expand upon the problem or the passion and place it before the person whose problem it will solve, even if that person is not yet aware of the problem they are trying to solve. The way to do this is to truly understand as much as possible about the desired customer. Who are they? What do they like? What issues are they interested in? What kind of values do they have? The more you know about that person, the more you're able to tailor that ad specifically towards them. The first step is to understand the circumstances that the desired customer might be facing. Whatever these circumstances are, they will affect their wants and needs. For example, we all know that to survive, a person has to eat. That's inevitable. If you want to live, you need food. That is a basic need. To a certain segment of the market, that is all they're looking to do. To others, it's not just a basic need that they are looking to satisfy, but rather a need with an underlying desire. For example, this could be the desire to shop for organic food. Although, you know, both have that basic need of eating, the customer circumstances are vastly different between the one who just needs to eat to survive and is, you know, being a little bit more picky with the choices or has a little bit more of an advantage in choosing what they would like to eat. Now we come to the different categories to consider when it comes to your customer. When trying to formulate a clear understanding of who the customer is, there are certain categories that need to be considered. As mentioned before, these are the wants and needs of the customers, as well as their personal preferences. So let's talk about personal preferences. Personal preferences are the choices that the desired customer makes that directly influences the way they live their lives. These choices could be affected by things like moral codes, culture, values, religion. For example, if my shop is selling meat in a predominantly Muslim area, then it is my job to ensure that this meat is classified as halal and to make sure that it's advertised as such. To many, halal meat may not be relevant, but to those in that Muslim community, it may affect their willingness to eat the sandwich. The choice that the members of the community make is influenced by their personal preference, which in this case, it is their religion. Therefore, the shop that is not selling halal meat within that community will definitely lose out on sale opportunities because they didn't understand the personal preference and the choices that members of this community are making. So, understanding the overall preference of the community is imperative to successfully reaching the desired customer. Then we have community. It is always essential to remember that customer is way more than a transaction and should never be treated as such. It's important to recall that a customer is a member of a community. Regardless of which community they belong to, everyone belongs to at least one. Generally speaking, members of the same community tend to exhibit similar behaviors and wants and needs. For example, people who are vegan all have one thing in common. They don't eat meat. Apart from that, there are subgroups. Those who don't eat meat to protect the environment and those who don't eat for health reasons are another, and among others as well. Those who are vegan for the sake of the environment probably share other traits as well. For example, they limit their waste and they recycle. Understanding that about a subgroup, the person who's selling recycled paper plates can enter the market knowing that this behavior is generally repeated across the vegan community and particularly that subgroup. So when trying to grasp the characteristic of the ideal customer, it's helpful to look at the communities in which they belong. Now, another thing that we need to consider is influences. A very important question to ask is what or who is my desired customer influenced by? Once there is an answer to that question, the business could use that channel to connect with the customer. For example, many companies rely on influencer marketing to endorse their product and to inspire others to use the same product because they know that the desired market is influenced by that person. For example, we have Under Armour. Under Armour is a sportswear company, and this company sponsors one of the American gold medalists, who is Michael Phelps, in order to reach the people whom he influences. So what Under Armour did is that they looked at the market, they truly studied it, and then they realized that in order to reach it, they need someone like Michael Phelps. And so they connected the two. Now, I know that Under Armour and the Olympic gold medalist are both huge names. But in a small to medium-sized business, you don't have to aim that big if your budget doesn't allow. So, look for smaller players on social media that have a substantial following and then connect with them. And that, or through that, you can use influencer marketing by really, really studying your market and thinking, okay, well, I can't use that big of a name, but let me see, who are these sub-players in this community? For example, a smaller sportswear company could look for an influencer or a bodybuilder that does a lot of health and coaching and exercise videos and say, okay, I'm going to connect with that person and hopefully I'm able to gain more business through the people he influences or she influences. In summary, you guys, customer needs and behaviors are influenced by various elements. The more you understand them, the better you are able to communicate with the desired customer. The more you study the trends within the community of your desired customer base, the more you'll be able to tailor the messaging, particularly to fit the needs of your potential clientele. So this is it for, again, this segment of the show. If you have any questions, once again, I ask you to email us at info@boutiquedigitalmarketing.com or give us a call at 909-333-5116. And if you are a business looking to grow your business or grow your digital marketing through content creation, Boutique is open for you and we would love to connect with you. So, in the upcoming segment, we have a very special interview for you with Rosette, who is doing some amazing, beautiful, artistic work. All right, so joining me, you guys, is a very amazing girl with a very unique business that I absolutely fell in love with. All the pictures that I saw were just absolutely amazing. And here with me is Rosette from Streamers and Balloons. And you guys really need to see these pictures. I can't show you the pictures because this is, you know, audio. But if you guys check out on my website, I did a featured business of the week and it's just absolutely stunning. All right, so Rosette, hi.
Hi, you're stunning. Thank you for thinking so highly of our balloons and featuring us as your business of the week.
You are very right. I am stunning. That's true.
If only you guys could see her right now.
No, you don't want to see me right now. I'm not as stunning as y'all think. No, but it's good to have you on the show. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Tell me what it is that you actually do. Tell my audience or the people that are listening, what is it that you do?
So Streamers and Balloons help people celebrate life no matter what the occasion is. We're there to help cheer anybody up. So whether it's somebody's in the hospital and you want to send a little bit of joy to them and send something to their hospital room, maybe outside of COVID, we can do that. We're not allowed in hospitals now. Or if we're celebrating a birthday or a gender reveal, we get to be part of somebody's joy, part of a celebration, regardless of the culture, the religion. It's beautiful to take part in special moments in everybody's life. And especially right now during COVID, it's nice to be able to bring joy and help people celebrate at a time where it's difficult to celebrate.
What makes your balloon company so different from everything else? I mean, where you have an option to go like to the party city and say, okay, I'm going to buy balloons there. What makes it different with you?
What makes it different is the relationship. So the amount of time that's taken to really customize something to somebody's liking so that it's something different than something so generic that you could pick up at a grocery store or at a party city. So you just get a lot more customization, the attention, and the wow factor. People are always amazed at how big their arrangements are and just how beautiful everything is. And you want that, especially if you're having an event, you really want that wow factor, that big pizzazz moment when somebody walks in and is just breathtaking. Their breath is taken away.
Honestly, when I look at the pictures, it's really something very unique. Like, it's almost like big art sculptures. And so that leads me to wonder, are you an artist?
So I actually recently started to realize that that's what I could be classified as. I never really thought of myself as an artist because I could never really draw anything. I definitely cheated and would put the light against a piece of paper if I was trying to draw something for school. But it is kind of nice to have a business where you can actually profit off of art. I feel like most artists struggle to make a living and struggle to get their art out into people's homes, into people's hearts. And the beautiful thing about this is that people get to enjoy something at home or at their event, and oftentimes they want to take it home or to somebody else. And most times when somebody has an event at a venue, they're trying to cram their balloons into their car to try to take them home because they just enjoyed them so much and they want them to last longer. And we're finding right now with all the drive-through birthdays and things like that, our customers are getting really creative with things. For example, there's a customer that told us that the arrangements that she sent to her sister, she then took part of it back to use for a drive-through birthday for a one-year-old who was also a friend of hers that she referred to us as a client. So it's beautiful to see how we can touch one person's life, and then through word of mouth, they share with others, and then others start ordering, and we're able to celebrate with families, with friends, and suddenly an entire community knows us. They realize how close the community is and how the degrees of separation aren't that great, aren't as great as we thought they were.
So when a few weeks ago, I was actually watching this lecture on business and on positioning your business somewhere good, and there was this comparison between businesses that are or industries that are doing really good and they're profitable versus industries that don't seem as lucrative or as profitable. So now when I think of balloon industries, it seems like it's a very small niche, but for somehow you were able to make it work. So tell me a little bit why you chose this particular field. Was there research that went into it? Was there something that drew you to balloons? I mean, it's very unorthodox.
So I've definitely loved balloons. And as Winnie the Pooh says, nobody could be uncheered by a balloon. And if it's something, it certainly isn't something that you absolutely need. It is not, we're definitely not frontline workers, and God bless them for everything that they're doing. I used to think when I was in college that I needed to open some sort of business that would always be a need. And so I used to think, oh, well, a grocery store makes sense. A restaurant makes sense. People will always want food and need food. And even if there's a recession, they'll still need the grocery store. There's all this stuff. But that wasn't something that excited me. I did work at a grocery store. My first job actually was at a grocery store. And I somehow found so much joy in bagging people's groceries. Definitely very fun. So now I don't mind bagging my own groceries if I go to Trader Joe's or wherever. I am going in a different direction. Sorry. But no, you think about a lot of different things. So when I graduated college, I went into IT marketing, which is completely different than what I'm doing. But that wasn't fun. Working for a utility company at that time was definitely a need. It's a business that is a need. Balloons are not a need, but balloons provide joy. And joy and smiles are definitely a need. We hear so much that laughter is a form of medicine. And just happiness. Happiness is something that some people are struggling with right now, being depressed, being in their home. So being able to deliver balloons to help celebrate somebody's birthday, or to celebrate Mother's Day for a mom or a grandma. Recently we celebrated with a grandma who couldn't leave her home. And so being able to help her grandson and her son-in-law celebrate her as a first-time grandmother was really something special. And so when I think of what we do, it's really bringing people closer together and making sure people are happy. And I don't think I answered your question, actually. I went in a completely different direction.
I think you did really good. I mean, but so the original question is, what made you choose this particular field?
Okay, so it's a little tricky. I used to be in the Associated Student Body, which is ASB, at my high school. And I remember it took like 7 of us to build a column or an arch. And it was just something that I really loved doing. And I always thought, well, this is what I want to bring. I want to bring joy to people through balloons. So,
you know,
when I
so was
college,
I, by the way.
Yeah.
So was I. We did the arches. We did a whole massive amount of arches.
Wait a minute. I can hire you, but I can't afford you.
I mean, I can help you anyways, but there was so much fun to do the arch. That's the only thing I know how to do. I know how to make a balloon arch.
Perfect. I'll teach you how to do some balloon animals, and
we're all good to go.
And you're good to go. That's it. You didn't need all those degrees that you have, Rita.
No,
you just need to learn how to make balloons.
They do make a nice decoration on the wall. I'm just gonna say that.
The degree. No. Everybody that speaks to you knows how wise you are.
Well, thank you. Likewise.
You're too cute. Balloons, just because they bring so much joy. And just, it just happened. Timing just worked out perfectly with everything.
So
I still have not answered your question.
No, you're doing good. So a part of it, or what really this kind of made me think of, you said it was just like the perfect timing. in business or in my show, I talk a lot about opportunities. We talk about, you know, the different types of businesses and business development and digital marketing opportunities and so forth. And I think there's a cliche in business that says perfect timing, perfect place, perfect timing. But it's really years of hard work. So in reality, that perfect timing, how did it look like for you?
So for me, what it looked like, I graduated college, started a job right away, and was excited about starting my first job 2 days after graduating college. And then at the same time, there were the local McDonald's were renovating their stores. And I thought, well, why don't I go ahead and walk in and start talking to somebody, get a business card, and let them know about my business and pitch to them some things that they could do at a renovation. So I walked in to a McDonald's. I talked to a gentleman. He was very kind, very polite, gave me his business card. I created this entire PowerPoint deck on ideas of what they could do. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get a call back. I just got a thank you email. So I thought, okay, well, they have budgets. They have things going on. If I hear back, great. If I don't, that's okay. Pitch ideas to somebody else. The time went by. They didn't reach out. I was focused on my main job, and that was IT marketing. And then in my community, there was a McDonald's that was doing a grand opening as well. And I see the designs that I had recommended right at that McDonald's. I walked over just to take a look, and I saw the gentleman that I spoke to. And I think I was a little bolder than I probably should have been. So I said hello to this gentleman, and I said, it's nice to see that you implemented some of the ideas that I pitched. And I could kind of almost see him, like, swallowing and taking kind of a deep breath. And I suggested that I perhaps do one of their next renovations. And he said, yeah, I'd love to. And I decided at that time to position myself in terms of price, just so that I could start building more of a portfolio.
Yeah.
So I pitched some more ideas. He liked everything. And we formed a relationship and continued to do business. As each store was renovated or as there was a Ronald McDonald show, we would show up and create a fun atmosphere, essentially, for the children and the families that would be in attendance. Things went well for a while. And then the business kind of fell on like a back burner while I focused on my career. And I went into events. And again, with events, people would always be happy when there were balloons or different things and just being able to cheer people up. I found so much joy in that. Then I got wrapped up in working in the events world. I realized that the people around me, the people that I was working with, their birthdays and certain milestones were not being celebrated. So I took it upon myself to go ahead and decorate their offices and do different things with balloons and a lot of audio and lighting, so that basically the lights would flicker just as certain songs were playing or different things, kind of like a Christmas light show that you can imagine. And people just loved it. And I found so much joy in that and thought, man, I really wish that my main job was just to do balloons and just cheer people up. And eventually it came time where I was working for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and I worked for my very first celebrity, and I was super excited about it. And I tried to not say very much, but I just posted a picture on social media. And all of a sudden, everybody at work was talking about it. Our executive director was talking about it. And I was just like, I'm trying not to mix both worlds, but then I knew that my heart belonged to both. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, as well as the balloons. And I found that it was pretty soon I realized that it was really time to step away from the sadness of cancer and to move into more of celebrating life with people while we have our health, while we have different things that we can find joy in.
I love this story, but I don't know if you noticed that there's a trend in what you were saying, and that is that you took initiative. So when we talk about perfect place, perfect timing, perfect place, there's really nothing that's absolutely perfect. There are things that I think, you know, God kind of guides us to certain things, but the world around us is filled with opportunities. And I think at every one of these, you took initiative and said, hey, you know, I did this or I can do this. And you put in a lot of work to do that first presentation. And when you saw that your stuff was being implemented, you didn't just say, oh, well, they stole my idea. You went forward and you spoke up. And I think a lot of people, that's where they start lacking, to say, I can't do this. You know what I mean? Or they stole my idea, and you can just, so easy to sit there and lament. Instead, you took it as an opportunity. And I think for those who are listening, for those who are looking for opportunities to do some work, really, it takes initiative. And it also takes, you know, kind of, you constantly mention, oh, my love for balloons started in ASB. Your love for balloons started when you were 15. And it went with you through the years as, you know, something on the back burner, but you still had within you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. You have to look for the doors that are, the doors aren't going to magically open up for you, but there will be opportunities that you're presented with, or that you have to constantly keep your eyes open for the opportunities ahead. Nobody hands you a magical golden key that just gives you everything in life that you wanted. You definitely have to work hard for it. But I do believe that timing still factors into it.
Absolutely. You do have to be ready, and you have to be knowledgeable, but you do have to take initiative, I think. And so one of my stories is, I'm hosting these radio shows, and I'm doing videos, and I'm doing other stuff. But when I was in high school, and we had, like, it was maybe like a little bit after the recession, they were firing all the counselors and whatever, and we had a few news channels show up. And the first thing I did was I went and I talked to them. And I got some contact information, and I tried to contact these people, and it got me nowhere. Mm-hmm. But
you are going to hear no often before you hear that yes.
Yes, but also, exactly. So you do get a no often before you hear that yes, but it also got me to know that, oh, okay, well, I have the courage to go and talk to them. It wasn't the perfect timing, per se, because nothing happened of it. But mm-hmm. it was strength enough for me to say, okay, I can do this once, I can do this again, until you get to where you want to go.
Exactly.
Okay, so you mentioned that you did an event for a celebrity. How did you get in contact with them?
I didn't actually go in search of any of the celebrities. So being in my work world, my previous work, just working for events, whether it was for Macy's or City of Hope or the Leukemia Lymphoma Society, you weren't supposed to be starstruck by a celebrity or go and search for them unless there was somebody who was actually looking for talent for our events and things like that. But I'd never been one to be starstruck by any celebrity, having interacted with many for work. Just always excited about the idea that kids and adults would just be excited to meet somebody. And just something that I loved was finding the joy in others' eyes, similar to the way you can witness the joy in a child's eyes when you take them first to a theme park, or if they're celebrating the holidays, regardless of what holiday it is. So for me, it's always been about the magic of bringing joy to people. I did not go out looking for the celebrities, but when you have great work and you share it, and you share it on social media, that it's bound to capture somebody's attention. So usually the people that contact me are celebrity assistants. And often if they move to start working for other celebrities or other families, they'll continue to call back and the relationship continues. So there's been a lot of repeat work for celebrities, some that we can share, some that we cannot, but it's definitely been a pleasure regardless of who it is. And it's always a little extra exciting when it's somebody that you're a fan of as well.
Mm-hmm. And basically they saw your work and they contacted you? Is that what I mean?
Yes. The assistant contacted us. Originally it was for a 4th of July party. And I, just like with anybody, everybody's getting the same pricing, regardless of who you are. Everybody's getting that same attention and the same level of excitement with everything, the customization as well. But it was such a pleasure to see a celebrity open the front door and be so humble. as to say hello and to offer to help unload the car. And that was very sweet to see. And we just established an ongoing relationship to the point where we did this person's son's first birthday. We've also done a lot of repeat work for other celebrities as well. And it's nice to constantly be welcomed into their homes, into their lives, just to be part of their family's joy and celebrations is a big deal for us.
So the reason why I was fixating on this particular topic, or the fact that they found you on social media, is because you said something very important. You said they saw our work and they liked it. And that, for those who have been following the show, we talk about content. And last week, I believe, we talked about SEO content and how to create content that really pushes you up in the search engine optimization. Well, what you did was content creation that is superior. So what you did is not a look at me advertising, like this is who I am, these are the services that I offer. You mm-hmm. added value to someone's life through your work. And that is the kind of content that you want to create, and that people that are starting their businesses when it comes to digital media, digital marketing, this is the kind of content that you want to be creating. And like you said earlier, it takes time. So was it right after you posted the picture that they contacted you?
Right after, are you saying in terms of, I mean, in this situation, they didn't see something and ask to recreate the exact same thing. They just saw enough work where they gained interest.
Exactly. So you built, over time, you build credibility.
Correct.
So when it comes to digital marketing, again, this is exactly what people should be doing. And so that's why I kept on asking about the whole celebrity thing, because your work it's beautiful. And you're not seeking out these people.
Yeah, that's not the goal. The goal is to make sure that people are able to celebrate. And it's always a nice surprise just to see how much love there is in humanity to celebrate others.
Beautiful. It's so tell me a little bit about your core beliefs. I mean, you said that everyone is being treated the same way, but tell me more about who you are as a company or the kind of culture that you provide.
As a company, we're people that take heart in each person's celebration and each person's joy. We want to create something for you as if you were our very best friend or our sibling or our mom. So when we're creating stuff for Mother's Day, we're building something as if I was building it for my mom. And we joked, my mom was around as I was building some of the things for Mother's Day. And I said, Mom, these are all for you. Just as a joke. And my sister said, oh, we should have just taken pictures with every single one and pretended like they were all for her. And she just found so much joy that people were still wanting to send love to their loved ones during these crazy times. And just being able to walk into somebody's home and they feel safe knowing that you're going to build something for them. You're going to build something from your heart as if it's their child, is your niece or your nephew. Just it's completely different than having somebody come drop something off or picking something up from the grocery store. So core beliefs are truly just establishing trust with our customers and just celebrating them and just bringing joy and love into every place of business or home, wherever we're entering, just making sure people are smiling and people are happy and celebrating everything, basically.
I love it. Okay, so if they want to find you, where can they find you?
They can find us at Streamers and Balloons on Instagram. It's
N, by the way. It's N.
The word Streamers, the letter N, balloon. And we look forward to helping anybody celebrate. We don't have like set budgets for anything. We want to celebrate people big and small. Just part of making sure that we're being part
and
of your celebration.
They want to email you, what's the email?
info@streamersballoons.com.
Beautiful. All right. So, Rosette, thank you so much for being with me today. It was an absolute pleasure talking to you and having you on the show. And I'm sure like people really benefited from our conversation. And for anyone else that has any questions about what happened in this episode or any other episodes that you heard with us, you can contact us at info@boutiquedigitalmarketing.com. And you could also call us at 909-333-5116. And if you have questions regarding your digital marketing or you want to create digital marketing for your company, feel free to give us a call. We are here to help. Thank you so much, Josette, and to everyone else. Have a great day, and I will be with you next week.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun hanging out with you today. And I look forward to continuing to listen and hear all your insightful remarks about all the businesses that you'll be interviewing ahead.
Thank you so much.